Hello, and welcome to another episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. My name is Diana Isaacs, and I am joined by my co-host, Natalie Bellini. And in this episode, we want to do an ACE wrap-up. So if you're not familiar, ACE stands for the American Association of Clinical Endocrinology. We recently had our conference in Orlando, Florida, and we attended the whole thing, and we really just want to share some of the amazingness that was there. I thought it was a really, really great conference. A couple of my highlights, I would say it started off with an opening from Daniel Drucker about incretins, and he is like, he got this special award as well. He has done all of the research about GLP-1s, and it was just so fascinating to listen to him. I was like in the second row. About how, like, when you started researching these agents, like, never could they, like, have expected all of these things, and how everything that they saw in rodents, for example, like, came to fruition and even beyond what they could have ever expected. It's just really, like, just so fascinating. And plus, he's, like, also the expert when it comes to, like, really understanding the benefits and then the adverse effects, which sometimes just get blown up, like, related to certain things like pancreatitis and the thyroid cancer. So it was just, oh, so, it, like, it was just really inspiring, just really, really awesome. And then
I love that you act and say this, like, I was in the second row, like you were at a Taylor Swift conference or a concert, right? Like, you're like, I got to see Daniel Drucker in the second row. Like, this is amazing, right? But it is. And he is. He's like the father of DPP-4s, then GLP-1s. And he knows his science and believes in what we're doing and has done some amazing, amazing research. But also some of the things he posts online about, like, what's coming and what's happening and how it's all working. And he's just such an eloquent speaker. I loved it. He's just that to all of us, right? Like, I think everyone stood in line to get a picture with him, you know? Yeah, it was, yeah.
I didn't get a picture with him, sadly.
Okay, maybe ADA this year, right? Maybe we'll be lucky, right?
But you are right. I'm more excited to see him than Taylor Swift, so I don't know what that says about me. But the other really big highlight for me was Ann Peters being there and also giving a plenary session. And she also won this Ellen Garber Lecture Award that kind of the committee I was on selected her. And her contributions in diabetes care have just been incredible, especially with underserved communities. And so a lot of what she talked about was all of these efforts that she's done throughout her kind of her career, and not just her. She also presented a lot of other people who've done amazing, amazing things. But one of the things that especially stood out to me was currently with her insulin pump clinic. She actually, this is interesting. She asked for a diabetes educator and they told her no, but they were willing to give her a PharmD. And so she's got these PharmDs that are running her insulin pump clinic and doing the adjustments for her patients. And that makes me so happy because as a PharmD myself, that is so much of what I'm doing. And it's so great now to see other pharmacists that are also taking on those roles and being able to do that for patients. So that was awesome. And then I also got to moderate her session and do this like post plenary Q&A, which was really great. And I don't know, I just found it really inspiring. I did get a picture with her, so I do have that.
I love it. I will say what she is so creative, right? They tell her no and she opens three more doors, right? This is Ann Peters, you know, and it's interesting, her whole career, she has spent taking care of the wealthiest of the wealthy and the poorest of the poor. And she has done such an amazing job of bringing and trying to bring all resources to the poorest of the poor. It's just, she just, you know, I love her and her work is just, you know, she's a researcher. She's, you know, she's, her ability to cite a study. Oh no, that only had 1400 people, Natalie. That's not impressive. Look at this one. It had 3,600 or this one had 10,000 or think about it this way. Or like, that's Anne to me. That is Dr. Peters in a nutshell is like,
helping us all think differently, but also help us all to serve everyone. And her efforts have changed lives of people all over the United States as an educator, as a physician, and as someone for all of us to look up to. So she's amazing.
Yeah, and of course, her efforts have been instrumental with ADA standards of care, especially in the technology section. So, yeah, definitely. Well, Natalie, I'm curious from you, what were some of your highlights from the meeting?
So sometimes I go to meetings and try to do things I don't know, right? And get refreshers. So the nice thing about ACE is that it's not just diabetes. So my expertise is diabetes, but I also follow people with type 1 that have Hashimoto's. And so that can end up presenting as hypo or hyperthyroid, right? Either hypothyroid or Graves' disease. I have people that end up with thyroid eye disease with, you know, I see people with type 2 that have Cushing's. And so I went to sessions specifically like that these ancillary parts of diabetes. And I have to tell you, the things I really loved about ACE and about all the sessions I attended is it's not as big as ADA. It's less overwhelming. And so I like small conferences for small things and bigger conferences, but the rooms were intimate. The people were friendly. And I learned a lot about things I got updates on that I might not have done at another conference. I love that we did a technology focused 3-hour training, Diana and I and this whole group of people did on Saturday. At the end of it, they're like, thank you very much. We can't wait to see you next year. And I'm like, are you going to pick me again? Because I had such a good time attending the conference and learning and teaching that I want to go back. I highly recommend it for anyone who hasn't been. And next year, it's in Las Vegas. So, right? Easy to fly into and fly out of, which is my in a city that's not, that I love the fact that it's not, the flights aren't expensive to Las Vegas, right? So I highly encourage any of you that haven't been, that this is a really nice conference to go to.
Yeah. And just to, you know, expand a little bit more with the tech workshop, I think one of the really unique things is just we had 10 tables with 10, most of the tables had one device, like for example, one insulin pump, because there's actually now, well, there's 5 insulin pump companies, there's technically 6 insulin pumps. And then we have, you know, all the different CGMs. And then we had inhaled insulin. We also had like the connected pen, the in pen, the Vigo, the Secure Simplicity. So anyway, we had 10 tables and each person rotated. So had 15 minutes at each table. Each table had a facilitator. And so I think people really enjoyed that, like hands-on, getting to touch the devices and getting to really spend some time learning about it. So yeah, I thought that went great. And then just to let everyone know, this is actually going to be part of a bigger diabetes technology certificate that Natalie and I are both working on, where that this is the in-person touch everything, but there's also going to be an online version to learn more about each respective device and then go through a series of different cases and stuff too. So stay tuned on that. That's supposed to come out this summer.
Yeah, people love the technology workshop. I had a couple people sneak in, right, and say, wait, you guys sound like I wish I had known about this now within the registration packet. So you could have, you know, when you registered or you saw it. But like, so, you know, what are you doing? This is amazing. I'm coming next year, you know. So, and I think there were lots of fellows, but there were also lots of people that don't do all the pumps. And so they got to learn about things that they don't necessarily do. I believe in my heart that we should all offer every pump, right? They might not be right for every person, but we should not be the person to say everyone in my patient gets or in my practice gets X brand. That's not fair. This is something that people are going to touch every day and interact with and need to make sure that they feel good about their decision. So in supporting that decision-making, we can help lead them to you need too much insulin for this one maybe, or we need to do this differently. But I really think that it opened the eyes of a lot of people. I had people at my table at one point cheering. I said, look at how this does this. And they were like, yay. So like, what a wonderful thing to make people feel good about what they're offering their own
patients. Well, Natalie was at the twist table. So there's a lot of excitement about that since that pump's, you know, coming very soon. So I think probably a lot of interest in that one.
Yeah, we did. We had a lot of fun. And the certificate we've worked really hard on. We've developed really good cases of real life people and, you know, looking at their downloads and what would you do next. So we're very excited.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I also just want to share a couple other sessions I had the great privilege to be a part of. So one was actually the DSN year in review for diabetes. So DSN stands for Disease State Network. So ACE has like a number of those for different disease states. But I had the pleasure to do that with Misha Zilberman. And so he and I co-presented what we felt were the top studies from the past year, basically from May last year to May 2025. And, it was a hard to pick out the studies. We did a PubMed search and then tried to kind of narrow down, prioritized randomized controlled trials, but also looked at major guidelines too. So I can't possibly go through the whole hour talk, but I kind of just wanted to highlight like some of the ones that we did cover. So started off actually with charcoal foot, which is apparently there's some new ways to better recognize it and who may be at risk. Talking about a study with lower blood pressure showed that lower blood pressure target of the 120 over 80 had really significant benefit. Talked about hyperglycemic crises and how that's on the rise, and some strategies to really better detect and treat immediately. Weekly insulin, so efsitora alfa, had new data, which is exciting. We hope weekly insulin will be here soon. G6PD deficiency and how that makes A1C very inaccurate. There were a couple studies on CGM related to either hospital discharge or in the hospital, and we covered the TITE study, which unfortunately did not show that CGM led to lower glucose targets in the hospital. But it was really interesting because one of the investigators was actually our moderator, and she said that it's not that the CGM maybe couldn't lead to that lower glucose targets. It's that the nursing staff were so worried about hypoglycemia that it really they were nervous to get more aggressive with the management. And so it's kind of interesting. I think there's CGM is still obviously very promising. It's just that was interesting how
Yeah, and I think that what that tells us is there's a big learning curve, right? That you can't just put CGM on a hospital floor of people with diabetes and expect the nursing staff not to say, wait, they're whatever, 124. I never let someone go to bed at 124. I always want them at 180, right? Like, or whatever that those numbers are. I know that in one of my friends works at a hospital where they've moved the basal insulin dosing till noon instead of before bed during hospitalizations at UC Davis. And why did they do that? Because the nurses have more support during the day and they've reduced the number of inappropriately held basal insulin doses by more than half, right? So it's some of it's just like learning those like you can't just we what we learned in that study was you can't just put them on them, right? The nurses were it was making the nurse nervous, but if we could create education around that, couldn't we address that and fix it and really make a difference, right?
I'm sure we could, right? With we need just a different way of education and training, and it could be that maybe lower glucose targets we shouldn't aim, like maybe we should stick with the current targets, but CGM can be useful for other reasons to perhaps reduce hypoglycemia without necessarily aiming for a lower target. So yeah, so that was really interesting. I covered three studies that talked about AID and type 2 diabetes. So we know we've got two pumps now that have FDA approval for that, and then another one that's submitting the FDA approval. So right now, Control-IQ Plus and Omnipod 5 have the approval, and then Medtronic, based on their study, has submitted. So that's really exciting as well. And then I did cover a study. It was a randomized control trial comparing non-insulin agents, so like metformin plus or minus glyburide, to insulin in gestational diabetes. So insulin for the win again. I mean, this has been our standard, but there's a lot of reasons we want to. It sure would be easier if we could use an oral drug instead of insulin. But insulin is definitely clearly superior. They were less large for gestational age babies. And of course, we have other concerns with metformin related to kind of development of obesity or type 2 diabetes later in life. So insulin's still definitely standard of care based on that. And then other studies we covered, FLOW, the semaglutide and CKD that I think we're, familiar with, and how that's led to it, GLP-1 start becoming the standard of care for CKD. The oral semaglutide with the recent SOUL trial showing cardiovascular benefit for that. And then I also covered the inhaled insulin, the inhaled three, which we've covered like most of these on our podcast already, right? But just showing that inhaled insulin can be just as good actually as standard care in type 1 diabetes. I think the caveat is that it's used like if someone is, really using it, not missing doses, redosing if needed, then it can work so well. And we previously interviewed Roy Beck and talked about that. And then, Natalie, this is your area because you actually had a talk on this, but we did cover the Catalyst trial with hypercortisolism, showing that, 24% of people in this quote unquote difficult to treat, which isn't even that difficult. They were like A1Cs over 7.5 and on three or more diabetes meds, which is like almost everyone we see. But 24% of them actually had hypercortisolism. And then at ADA, we'll see the Catalyst too, which will show if mifepristone, the competitive glucocorticoid receptor antagonist, leads to reduction in A1C, which top line results have shown it did, but we're waiting to see kind of that full trial. And then the last one I presented was actually just the updated monitoring guidance in type 1 diabetes, in pre-stage 3 type 1 diabetes that came out last summer. And that's pretty important because we talk about screening all the time, and this provides guidance on, okay, like, well, what do you do if
What do
someone
you do?
has one autoantibody, two autoantibodies, like how often should you be monitoring? And so I think that's a really important guideline that came out. And so that kind of in 5 minutes summarizes our 1 hour talk.
There we go, ready?
Yes, and I think the funny thing is that we've covered every single one of those trials in the past year at some level or another, right? Because they were highlights when they came out the first time. So, so I think that I cannot tell you how impressed I was with ACE and the professionalism, the ease of finding rooms, the friendliness of the people. It was really nice. I really thoroughly enjoyed the conference, and I encourage those of you who have never been or have been before to come back and meet us when we meet in Las Vegas next year.
Yeah, and before we go, I'm just going to share one more thing. So I also had this other talk on hybrid closed loop pumps and optimizing them. So that was, very well attended.
Spinning
And
them only, basically. Right.
yeah. And I had 45 minutes and I really wish I had an hour, but it's okay. I got it done in like 47. I went over a little bit. But it was really great. It provided strategies on really how to optimize each insulin pump. I started off with kind of some strategies for all of them and then specific strategies for each one based on their unique targets, kind of what we know about optimal settings for each one, some different tips and tricks. And then I also provided a bunch of resources to go to, like the Panther program and DanaTech and Diabetes Wise. But I had a lot of interest in it. And so I'm thinking about kind of where else I may do this for DanaTech, for example, so other people can have access to this talk because it seemed like there was a lot of interest. And then before we close, one other thing, I also had the pleasure to moderate Viral Shah's talk on over-the-counter CGM. And that was a very good talk. Unfortunately, he was under the weather. But he had just come back from like overseas. But his content and his research in this area is so good. And I think the big thing that I took away is just that the metrics for people without diabetes, like the metrics are just, it does lead to a lot of people thinking, oh gosh, like I have diabetes. And the big thing is that GMI, that glucose management indicator, is absolutely not accurate in someone without diabetes. And he said that there are efforts to actually replace that with a new type of GMI metric that would be more accurate for a wider range of A1C levels. So I think that's really important because some people will look at their data, they don't have diabetes, or maybe they have prediabetes, and they see, oh my gosh, my GMI is like 6.8, when really it may not correlate at all. And he showed evidence of how it does not correlate. And he also showed there was this trial done where they got like expert clinicians, endocrinologists, et cetera, to review different CGM data in people without diabetes. And they all came to widely different conclusions about how they would follow up and how they would manage and if they were concerned with the readings. And so I think all this to say is that there's a lot we still need to learn. And he said, like, absolutely, we are not ready to diagnose diabetes based on this data yet, because there's still kind of a lot to be learned in this space.
Right. I think what we need to realize, though, is that if someone's rising to 300, right, that's an easy one to diagnose, right? They're eating, they're rising to 300 every day for 3 or 4 hours, or they wake them up fasting at 250. That person has diabetes, right? That's not who we're talking about here. We're talking about those people that are closer to normal glucose, right? Normal euglycemia. And they see these little spikes, or they see these average glucoses, and it's like, yes, but this is a CGM. And we're doing the best we can, but there is so much to learn. We all, you know, I am really excited about the over-the-counter, though, because the over-the-counter doesn't allow to read lows. And so hopefully that less people will come to me having been put on a CGM in their primary care, and they have now decided they have hypoglycemia and they're false, right? So if I take it off of them and I send them home and I say, I need you to use a meter for the next 2 weeks. And every time you get rapid heart rate covered in sweat, like a true signs and symptoms of hypoglycemia, check on a finger stick and then come back. And the majority of them don't come back. Why? Because they're not having those lows, right? But they believe it when they see it. It's like a placebo effect, right? So we need to remember that when we're working with people. And you're right. We have so much to learn on these over-the-counter CGMs and who will really benefit and how.
So I think that's a great point.
Really, it's more to come, right? That's really, yeah.
Right. I'm glad you said that, because you're absolutely right. If someone is like averaging 200, they have diabetes. Like, yes, we're still going to send them to get an A1C or something.
Yes.
But in that case, we can say, okay. But yeah, it's where they're having the lows and they're going up a little, like where we can't use that to diagnose at this time. So right. Yes, absolutely. Well, thanks for this great discussion. Ace was a fantastic meeting, and we hope we'll see you all next year in Las Vegas for Ace 2026. And that wraps up now this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives.